Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
As I begin with our lesson concerning Philadelphia, I tell you that God has saved the best and the worst congregations for the very last. Today, we're going to look at Philadelphia, and next week, we're going to consider the saints there at Laodicea. But as we think in regard to the saints there at Philadelphia, what are some of the important things that we can understand concerning the city there at Philadelphia? Good people, we understand concerning Philadelphia is that it was located south to southeast of Sardis. And what we gather from the context is that it was not as large, prosperous, or as well known as the coastal cities. But yet at the same time, it has some very significant, memorable qualities that certainly need to be brought out for our understanding. It was founded and established by a man by the name of Attalus II Philadelphus. And in this, it was named after its founder. And when we think in regard to this man, he was the king of Pergamos. And his name, Philadelphus, actually is a combination of two Greek words, Philadelphia, or Phileia, which is the word for love, and Adelphos is for brother. And this man acquired that name based out of what it was that he sought to do for his older brother, Emmaus. And he was very loyal to his brother. And based out of that then, they called him Attalus II Philadelphus. And therefore, Philadelphia was named after this man. Good people also, we think in regard to Philadelphia, it was known as the gateway for the East. In that, it was established by its founder as a missionary city to spread the Greek language and culture into Lydia and Phrygia. It was located on a fertile region, and also in all of this, it was noted for its wine production. However, when we think in regard to Philadelphia, we understand from history is that it was destroyed by the great earthquake of AD 17. Also, Sardis and other cities in and around that area was destroyed at that time. And the people of that region lived in terror for many years. Why? Because the tremors from that major earthquake continued on for many, many years. When we gather into the context of what is stated here concerning the saints at Philadelphia, first, we have identified a description of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus identifies Himself as He who is holy. The Greek terminology here is ho hagios, which literally translates the Holy One. And the Holy One is reserved strictly for our God. And when Jesus uses this terminology concerning Himself, He affirms His deity as well as He is laying forth the foundation before these individuals that He cannot and that He will not tolerate sin. And therefore, anyone who participates in sin, that they will face the sincere and strict judgment coming upon them by the Holy One. But also, He reveals of Himself concerning the context here is that He is the One who is true in Philadelphia. Good people, there were many false gods. But Jesus reveals unto them is that He is the genuine God. He is the one and true, the only God that these individuals need to know and that these people need to be concerned about. He is the reliable one. The other gods of Philadelphia, they had let their followers down. But He, as the true and living God, He would always be there. And because of that, He will also be able to vindicate His people. And these people needed to understand that. But He also identifies Himself as the one who holds the key of David. Good people, what is all of that about? From the book of Isaiah 22, verses 15 through 25, Eliakim is identified as the trustworthy servant of Hezekiah, who is in charge of the keys of the house of David. In all of that then, it signifies that he, Eliakim, is the one with the authority. Whenever he opens up a door, no one's able to shut it. Whenever he shuts the door, no one's able to open it. And therefore, from the context, it is revealing Jesus is the one with the keys unto our God. Well, what does that mean? It means that He is the authority. And therefore, whenever He opens up a door, no one can shut it. Whenever He closes the door, no one can open it. What does He say in regard to these brethren? Good people, I believe that it's very important for us to point out this morning is that he had absolutely nothing negative to say about these brethren. We do not find that in the context of any other church. With Philadelphia, everything that he says in regard to these individuals is positive. They were puny, but they were productive. In the context, he reveals concerning something that we need to understand about them whenever he says that they were of little power. Well, what does he mean whenever he says that they were of little power? It might have been in reference to their small membership. He may have been speaking in regard to the scarcity of their talents or possibly their minimal financial resources that they would have had access to. We need to understand concerning these brethren is that they were small to some degree, but yet at the same time, he does not state this in a negative way towards them, but rather, good people, he compliments them for their being small, but yet at the same time, they were very productive. They were constantly looking unto our God. They wanted to worship God according to the standards that He had laid down. But also, they wanted to make certain that they were reaching out to the community round and about them to identify to the souls in Philadelphia that these people were lost and that they were only going to be able to acquire salvation in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. So therefore, as we think in regard to the saints at Philadelphia, they were puny. They had something that was very small about them, but yet they were very productive in their work in order to glorify our God. But also, I believe the context reveals unto us is that they were pulled, but yet at the same time, they pushed back. They were pulled by the surroundings round and about them. The evil people there in Philadelphia, those who did not know God, those who could care less about God, these individuals were trying so hard to pull at the hearts and souls of these people to try and get them to walk away from God and to live their life as others who were heathens there in Philadelphia. But yet at the same time, the context reveals unto us is that while they were experiencing this pull from the world, they were pushing the world away. They were pushing away from that evil. Good people, they were pushing away from the evil influences, the temptations that was constantly bombarding them, trying to draw them away. But yet at the same time, we understand that they left an open door for the proclamation of the gospel. The Bible also reveals concerning these individuals is that they were persecuted, but they were persevering. In the context of what is stated here, he says, "You have kept my word and have not denied my name." Those two phrases are given in the aorist tense, and it identifies a one-time event, a very significant thing that happened amongst the church there at Philadelphia that could have drawn them away. For the Lord identifies concerning these individuals, even though that they were persecuted to that level, to that end, to where they could have and possibly would have fallen, He says that you stood firm. You continue to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You continue to stand firm in the doctrine of Christ. You continue to do all that you could to glorify our God. In regard to all of this, these brethren were blessed by our God to be given an open door. They were given an open door. Well, what does that mean, good people? In a very special way, God was working with them. How was God working with them? Providentially, God was laying before them opportunities. Opportunities to do what? I believe that God understood their love for Him and realized also their love for the souls of mankind. And therefore, God was giving them opportunities to evangelize, to share the gospel, as well as to share their faith. The things that Christians ought to aspire for, the things that Christians ought to do every single day of their life, God was giving them an opportunity. God wanted to use Philadelphia as a mission field. Remember, it had been established as a mission field to further the Greek language and the Greek culture. And now God was wanting to use the saints there at Philadelphia as a mission field to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. They were given an open door, and He reveals in here is that nobody can close it. What does that imply? Brethren, I believe that that implies, at least as I would read that and understand it, it implies is that someone would try. It tells us is that someone either was trying or someone was going to come and they were going to try and to close that door. And in all of that, God reveals that that door was not going to be able to be closed. Well, what does that mean? It means that Satan was going to understand that the door was open. He was also going to understand is that the saints there at Philadelphia, that they were workers in the kingdom, and he was going to attack them possibly personal, in a very personal and real way, to try and to close that door. But he says, whenever God has opened that door, he says, no one's going to be able to close it. But yet understand, it did not mean is that people were going to walk into the church on their own accord without being taught. There was a huge responsibility that was laid upon the saints there at Philadelphia to use that open door, to recognize that the door was open, and then to use the talents that God had blessed them with to make certain that they could indeed reach these souls who were outside of the body of Christ. And today, as we think in regard to the saints there at Philadelphia, how does this lesson apply to you and me as Christians? Good people, God wants us as Christians to understand that we are to be productive citizens in the kingdom of our God. Whenever we put Christ on in baptism, our God forgives us of our sin, of our past sin, and therefore He expects us to live our life according to true New Testament Christianity, to repent of our sin, and then to walk in the light as Jesus Christ is in the light. And as a result of that, then we also need to understand is that we have responsibilities that pertain to us because we are children of God. We said last week that there is work to do in the kingdom. And most certainly, God lays out the areas of work that we need to understand as Christians that we are responsible for. But also, God gives each and every one of us talents. Talents that He expects us to understand as well as to utilize to the glorification of His name. God says unto us that Jesus Christ is the vine, and we are the branches. And as the branches, we are required by God to produce. As the branches, God expects you and me to be productive citizens in the kingdom of our God. In all of that, God also wants you and me to understand that as Christians seeking to glorify God and to work in the kingdom, is that God is opening a variety of doors for us. What doors is it that God opens for us? Good people, I believe that He opens the same doors as what He was opening there for those at Philadelphia. A door of evangelism. A door to wherein that we will have opportunities to reach our family with the good news about Christ. If you have family outside of Christ, realize is that the only way, more than likely, that they're going to hear the gospel message is through you. Maybe through your life, but understand that as they look at your life, they're not still going to be able to fully grasp, to fully understand what it is that God requires of us, and therefore that means that we're going to have to speak to them. We need to understand that God is opening doors with our family, that God will open doors with our friends, that God will open doors with our neighbors, that God will open doors with acquaintances. And somebody might say, Kevin, you're saying that God's going to give us a chance with maybe everybody that we meet. Good people, I firmly believe that. I believe that God will give us a chance with the rich, with the poor, with the educated, with the simple-minded, with people from all walk of life, if you and I will but recognize those opportunities that God lays before us. God wants us to recognize that He is working in very big ways in our individual life as well as in this congregation. And God wants you and me to realize the seriousness concerning lost souls outside of Christ, and to realize that as Christians, we need to do all that we can to take the gospel unto them. And for that reason, we need to be running with the good news about Jesus. Amen. Not walking through life nonchalantly, not with a carefree attitude, but rather a heart that is focused upon what it is that God wants us to do. Running and reaching out
to people who are outside of Christ to seize the opportunities that God sets before us and to realize that our labor is never in vain. There are times that I believe that the saints there at Philadelphia probably had grown discouraged as well as the other congregations in the area. And that has held true even unto this present age or this present generation. From time to time, when we're working in the kingdom, it can indeed get us down. But yet at the same time, God says unto us, understand that your labors are not in vain. You say, Kevin, what do you mean? There are searching souls out there. And whenever we find those souls that are truly searching for our God, whenever they hear the good message that is found in Christ, whenever they realize that their sin separates them from God and that they need to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, these individuals will do what it is that God requires them to do. And for that reason, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. But also, what a blessing it is unto the Lord's people whenever we're working together, laboring side by side in the kingdom of God, in the Lord's church here at East End. But also, whenever we have opportunities universally to do things like that, the edification that's brought forth by God's people working together in the kingdom, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. But you know, in an ultimate manner, whenever we stand before God in judgment, even if we were not able to convert the first soul, God will reward us for our efforts in doing what it is that He commands us to do. We will stand aright with God, is what the saints there in Philadelphia did. But good people, also, we need to understand this, that God was working amongst the church there in Philadelphia. And God will work with us in our efforts to reach out unto the lost and dying world. God will work with us as long as we're willing to work with and through Him, through His holy and inspired Word, and under a leadership that's seeking to lead God's people according to the standards that is spelled out in Scripture. God will work with us, and He promises us. In fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, the Great Commission, where the saints were commanded to go into all the world and to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, He says, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, to the end of the age. That end of the age is until the end of the Christian age. And we are in the Christian age today. And Jesus says that He will be with us, to work with us, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, as we are seeking to work for God in this present day and age. In fact, it will be challenging from time to time, but the Apostle Paul affirms in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And while God is working with us, God wants you and me to understand is that we need to put our hands to the work, is that we need to make certain that we realize our role in doing, in accomplishing the things that God lays before us. And God says that He will do His part. But it's our part that we need to be concerned about. You say, Kevin, what are you trying to say? You and I are in control of the future. I know that God is reigning. And God is the one who controls all things. And I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that you and I and the success of the church here at East End, it depends upon you and me as to what we are willing to do that will bring forth success. God's not going to bless us if we're not willing to put our hands to it. We're getting ready to leave 2012 and to go into a new calendar year. And the work of the church for 2013 is in front of us. And brothers and sisters in Christ, the sky's the limit. Now let me reframe. Heaven's the limit. And if you and I will just do what we can do, God will do His part. God will give us increases
both spiritually and numerically, that you and I could never imagine. If God were writing about this church at East End, what would He say? I think He would have a lot of positive things to say about our leadership, about our membership, about the fellowship that we have in Him and with one another. But I think He would also tell us there are things that we can indeed improve on as we think about glorifying His name and edifying and building up the body of Christ in every way that we can. Today, are you here and outside of the body of Christ? We want to extend our Lord's invitation to you to become a New Testament Christian, to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God, and to submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you're here and you're an erring member of the church, you were baptized, but yet you've journeyed back into the world, maybe even it's been that you've been here, but you've allowed the influence of the world to overtake you. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, please come as together we stand and as we sing.